MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Tracy Davies from Just Share. Tracy, good to chat again. Earlier in the week, Woolies came out talking around their first-of-a-kind employee benefits package, 24,000 frontline workers, access to private healthcare. On the surface, sounds great. You've put out a comment that says, and my words, not yours, it's kind of like greenwashing, although in this case, perhaps it is salary washing. It's missing the bigger picture.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me. Yes, you know, so first of all, let me say that there is nothing, you know, to criticize about the provision of healthcare itself to these workers. It's a great initiative. My understanding of this benefit that these workers are being provided with is that it provides them with access to kind of primary medical care, so GPs, medication, glasses, that kind of thing, which is fantastic. But we are still talking about a workforce which predominantly and on average earns around 8,000 rand a month. And, you know, there's just no way that we can describe this as a living wage in this country. If you think about the fact that the July 2025 average cost of a basic nutritional food basket for a family of four is 3,755 rand. That means that you're saying that a Woolies employee who works full-time and earns 8,000 rand a month and is more than likely supporting a family of, let's say, four people, is spending almost half of their wages on food alone. So our argument is not that it's bad or wrong for Woolworths to provide these healthcare benefits. It's great and a great initiative. But it doesn't negate the fact that these are workers who are not earning a living wage. And this is in a context of a company whose CEO last year was paid 122 million rand. And that's where we say the unreasonableness comes in.
It is. And it's the key point. I chatted, I think it was last month, with Leila Ibrahim from PwC around just that. And yes, the law says there's a minimum wage, but really the minimum wage is a ludicrously small number. It is about that living wage. And when we put it in relation to what a staff member is earning at Woolies relative to the CEO, I mean, latest data shows it to be, you know, CEO gets 1,300 times more. Now, I'm sure he's worth a lot, but that just, it's that disconnect between the two.
There's an enormous disconnect. And, you know, I think this country is kind of addicted to cheap labor. And the sense is that, you know, anybody who's got a job should be grateful to have that job. It doesn't matter what they earn, they must be grateful because there's so much unemployment in South Africa. But the people who say that, first of all, none of them have to support their families on 8,000 rand a month. And second of all, it is a very short-sighted view from the perspective of building our society as a whole. You know, that internal wage inequality in big companies is a key component of our overall inequality in South Africa. So keeping people at these levels of pay means the rich get richer, but it doesn't support the aggregate growth of the economy, and it doesn't assist in building a middle class who can comfortably educate their children to a standard that allows those children to lead a better life. And so by paying people these wages, we are not growing the economy. We are not making a contribution to inequality. We're really just perpetuating the cycle of poverty and inequality that really just plagues South African society.
And that is a great point, and it is. I mean, it is why we have that just horrific disconnect and poverty in our country. And a lot of that poverty is from people who are working. We're getting the remuneration disclosures are coming through that, you know, companies will have to disclose all of this. My sense is the risk is it's just going to sort of be a bit of a box-ticking exercise rather than companies actually saying, well, you know, is 8,000 rand a livable and dignified amount of money to pay an individual? They're going to sort of just tick boxes and say, well, here's the data and we pay more than a minimum wage and we're just going to perpetuate the crisis.
Yeah, look, I think, and remember that the companies across the board vehemently resisted legislation that would require them to make these disclosures. So they really didn't want to make them. And it's exactly because of these kinds of conversations that get had once those disclosures have been made. But I do think that the disclosures are actually leading to some good results in some sectors. You know, if you look at the banking sector, we see some quite significant increases in minimum sort of lowest paid salaries, which I think are a direct result of the knowledge that these numbers are going to be scrutinized. And you even see in some cases, for example, Investec recently insourced a bunch of employees in order to bring them into that. So there's some good stuff coming out of it. But unfortunately, the retailers in particular are in a different category. And there's a really strong sense that I think, you know, that these people, they do a menial job and they're lucky to get paid what they get paid. And that's the end of the story. And I would hope that these retailers come under increasing pressure to, as you say, minimum wage is the floor. It's the absolute floor that everybody should be earning, not, you know, the best we can do in the circumstances. And a company that's earning the kinds of profits that Woolworths is earning, that's paying its executives the kind of salary it's paying, it should at the very least make sure that everyone who works for it and contributes to its success is earning enough to lead a dignified life.
Is there an argument? And I know what the corporate arguments around executive pay, and I don't want to go down that debate because we'd be here all day. I mean, is there an argument to be said that if the CEO of Woolies took, I don't know, what's it? I mean, I need to do the math in my head quick. If he sliced a couple of million off his salary every year, I mean, it could almost make differences. But I mean, it's actually about perhaps taking a slight dent to the profits.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think, as you say, these arguments about, well, arguments, discussions about executive pay are fraught. I don't think it's unfair to say that there is really no relation whatsoever. If you look across the board at the South African listed sector, there's no relation between profitability and success and size of company and executive pay. It really seems to be quite random, depending on the particular way that that remuneration has been calculated. Mm. But there's no doubt that you could close the gap and make a difference at the bottom if we weren't so obsessed with these stratospherically high salaries and payouts at the top. I mean, really, nobody needs to earn 122 million rand in 1 year and 65 million rand a year after.
Yeah, I agree on that 100%. And I mean, it is just, I mean, it's numbers that are absolutely crazy. Woolies has about 34,000 employees, an extra 10,000 rand there each per month. It's going to take a hit, but it's not going to bankrupt anyone. We'll leave it there. Tracy Davies, just chair, appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.